about being filled with the Holy Spirit and what that means. What does it really mean when we say, you know, I am filled with the Holy Spirit? It's bandied about, I think, far too easily. You know, there's a difference between the baptism and the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is not the sign of being filled with the Spirit. Speaking in tongues comes when you are baptized in the Spirit and you're filled with the Spirit. But because you speak in tongues does not mean that you are filled with the Spirit. And I believe that at the end of this message you will agree with me when you see why I say that. Can you tell if someone is filled with the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. 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 Is being filled with the Holy Spirit a one-time event? No. No, it is not. And you'll see that as well. Does God want every believer to be filled with the Spirit? Absolutely. We need to be. We need to be. And to the degree that we embrace that, it changes our lives. It changes our lives. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the Holy Spirit was released. And they were all filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was their first infilling. And that allowed them to speak in tongues because they were now filled with the Spirit at that time. They were baptized in the Spirit. But then in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's a refilling. Peter got filled with the Spirit, and then two chapters later, he got filled once again. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 31, they were together praying. The place where they were assembled together was shaken. That's a pretty powerful prayer. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. There they are being filled again, and I'm sure Peter was there. In Acts chapter 9, verse 17, we see Paul. Ananias goes to him and lays his hands on him and says, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. In Acts chapter 13, and we only have two more of these, then I'll get into the message here. But in Acts chapter 13, verse 9, Paul gets refilled. He gets filled once again with the Spirit. In Acts chapter 13, this is the last one, verse 52, it says that the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Why am I doing this, speaking about this? Because it is extremely important for Jesus' disciples to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You and I cannot accomplish the ministry that God has for us without it. We really need it. And yet it's something that I think has not been taught properly and has been misunderstood. I think too often people think that they got filled with the Spirit 42 years ago and that's all they need. And that's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 5, there's a direct command about this from God. In verse 17 it says, "Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." What's the will of the Lord? "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, of course, most of us know at this point the word be filled is be being filled, ongoingly so. But did a lot more research into this and found some really interesting facts about it. That when we use the word filled in English, we usually think of something being poured into a container, such as filling a glass with water, filling a bathtub, filling a gas tank. However, none of these examples convey precisely the meaning of to fill or be filled as the Greek word pleroo, P-L-E-R-O-O, which is used in Ephesians 5:18. That's the word that's being used. The word, the Greek word pleroo, has in fact three shades of meaning that are helpful for us to understand the scriptural meaning of being Spirit-filled. These three perspectives will help us to understand that when we are embracing being filled in this manner, it will change us. It will change us. Being filled with the Spirit of God is a very holy, holy thing to have happen. God wants us to be filled. But the first meaning here carries the idea of pressure. Pressure. It's used to, the word is used to describe wind blowing against the sails of a ship moving it across the water. In the spiritual realm, this would be the Holy Spirit providing the thrust to move a believer along the path of obedience. Leading. Not forcing, but leading. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to be carried along by the gracious pressure of the Holy Spirit. Now, the second meaning here for pleroo conveys the idea of permeation. Permeation, just a fancy word for saturation, really, to be saturated. And here's where my example is for that. To be saturated. Most of us know what that means, to be saturated. But we look at this here and think in terms of without God, without the presence of God, without the influence of the Holy Spirit, that's pretty much what I look like to God. He's not impressed. My soul and my spirit, without God, are lost. Absolutely lost. When I fill this up, anyone want a sip? No?
Is that Coke?
No. I assure you, it's not Coke. Nor does it taste like Coke. I don't know what it tastes like, but I wouldn't encourage anyone to drink it. This would represent here, as I've got here, the spirit or the heart that is filled with the cares of the world, pride, selfishness, and all the other things that go along with just normal living without the influence of the Holy Spirit. And when it says to be filled with the Spirit, you can see that the way this is at the moment, that would present a problem. And why is that, do you think? Well, for one thing, it's already full. It's already full. And we can't be filled with the Holy Spirit and still be filled with all of our own ideas and thoughts and wants and cares of the world and all these other things, because the Bible talks about how they choke the word out. They choked the word out. But if we take this glass and say it represents us here, when you think of being filled with the Spirit, I want you to think about, these are Alka-Seltzer tablets, by the way. So, we drop them in and it goes, how's the song go? Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Boy, whoever sang that's old. Not as old as me, maybe, but old. You see what it's doing? What's it doing? It's permeating it. It's saturating the water. The water is literally being transformed. It's changing. It's not water anymore. It has changed the purpose of the water. See, it's not just to drink anymore. This water would be for healing now, for example. And that when the Holy Spirit begins to fill us, that's the kind of transformation that happens. We go from this to this to this. And when that is accomplished, or as that is being accomplished, there is a purpose that comes in. A purpose, a divine purpose that now exists. This water has a purpose now. A specific purpose. It's not to be, well, I guess, it could, I don't know if it could be or not, but you wouldn't do this to water your lawn. You wouldn't do this to have with your toast in the morning or cereal. You wouldn't pour it on your cereal. You would use this to bring healing for heartburn. When the Holy Spirit comes on us and begins to fill us, what's He filling us with? What's He filling us with? Himself. He's filling us with Himself. The person of God, Holy Spirit, literally begins to fill our spirit with Himself. Now there's a reason for that. There's a reason that He's doing it. He's not doing it because He has nowhere else to stay. He's not doing it because He's bored and looking for an activity. He is doing it because we have said to God, we want Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. And we also want God to fill us with His Spirit. We want Him to fill us, literally fill us with His Spirit. So that the Holy Spirit begins to permeate and flavor our lives, much as the Alka-Seltzer has flavored the water. So when we're around others, what happens? What happens? They can at least sense the flavor of God. Smith Wigglesworth used to be called the man with the Holy Ghost. When people were looking for him, they didn't ask for Smith Wigglesworth. They asked, do you know where the man is who has the Holy Ghost? And everybody in the town would know it was him. Why? Why do you think they would know that? Because Smith Wigglesworth was permeated with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. And that did not mean he was perfect. It didn't mean everything in his life went extremely well either. You know that Smith Wigglesworth had stones. He had them for, I believe, 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. And that he would go and do a service where incredible miracles would happen. Incredible miracles. Including, I think he raised 8 or 9 people from the dead. I can't remember the exact number. But then he would go home at night and lie on the floor, and his underwear would be soaked in blood from the stones. Now he had made a declaration, some say this is why that happened, that no knife will ever touch my body. And so for 2 years he wrestled, he was healed, but it took 2 years for him to be healed of that. And I say that because we need to know and recognize that it's the Holy Spirit. He is the powerhouse. He does the miracles. We need to agree with Him. We need to submit to Him. We need to be filled with Him, but we need never to forget. There's only one Jesus. There's only one Holy Spirit. We are not either. But we are part of His family. And He has given us the privilege to fulfill His desires here on earth. Fulfill them. Which brings me to the third point, the third meaning of the word plehu, which is actually the primary meaning, in the New Testament for this word. And it means, it gives a sense of domination or total control. It's used by the gospel writers, interestingly, to indicate people who are dominated by a particular or certain emotion. For example, Luke chapter 5, verse 26, for reference. After Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and healed the paralytic, the people, it says, the people were amazed and they were filled with fear. Filled with fear. In other words, fear was what dominated them at that point. In Luke chapter 6, verse 11, when Jesus was in the temple and he restored the man's hand on the Sabbath, the scribes and the Pharisees, the Bible says, were filled with rage. They were filled with rage, and they were going to try to figure out a way to kill him. In John chapter 16, verse 6, when Jesus told the disciples that he was going to be leaving them soon, he also told of their reaction, and he said, "Sorrow has filled your heart." Each one of these scriptures here reveals an emotion that was so overwhelming within the people that it dominated their thoughts and pushed aside other emotions or thoughts that they were having. And that's not uncommon. For example, today we could say the death of a loved one, that the sense of grief would be overwhelming, completely overwhelming. Or you're in an emergency, an extreme emergency, and the feeling of anxiety just sweeps over you because you're not sure what's going to happen. Or in the birth of a child and the overwhelming joy that comes with that. See, God desires for us, you and I, to emulate Jesus. In other words, to submit to the Holy Spirit and to the leading of the Holy Spirit. In John 5:19, Jesus said, "I only do what I see my Father doing." That's submission. That's submission. And there's another passage that's actually really quite interesting. And let's go to this one. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Because if you have any hope of being filled with the Spirit, we're going to need to embrace this particular verse. This passage conveys in a slightly different way the meaning of the command, "be filled with the Spirit." Here Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." So let the words of this Bible fill your heart abundantly. Fill your heart abundantly. And if you are going to be filled and led by the Spirit, then you are going to have to embrace the Word of God. Because you cannot separate them. You cannot separate them. They work together. How can we tell today if someone is filled with the Spirit? Filled, literally filled with the Spirit. Well, the Bible tells us, actually. We go to Ephesians. chapter 5, and we look at verses 19 through 21. And it says, so 18 says, be filled with the Spirit, be ongoingly filled. And then you will be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, and submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. So what is that telling us? What's it telling us? That when you are filled with the Spirit, it's got to come out. You will have a new song in your heart. You will have a new song with your heart. And because you were filled with the Spirit today, is not a guarantee that 2 years from now, you'll still be filled. Because it is maintained through the ongoing connection with God. It's maintained. Being filled with the Spirit is something that is ongoing for us. Ongoing. Do you want to put that up there with the Manik said last week, please?
I'm going to take a second.
Okay. Oh, it has to, okay. There were some of them left out there. I had it printed off. It was so remarkable last week what Manik said about 1 Peter 4:8 about being fervent in our love one for another. It was a remarkable display of how it grows, because as she kept saying, and I kept asking her through the message what it meant, I even got her to stand on a chair. So if you weren't here, you missed something. She added a little extra each time, a little something, another perspective. It was really quite something to see. Can you kill the second light there, dear? Now, these are her words. We took them right off the tape. So they have not been interpreted or restyled or anything. That's exactly what she said. If I'm so busy loving somebody, then there's no room for anything else. Criticism or any resentment or whatsoever. If I'm so busy loving people, then I'll have no time to think about any criticism or resentment or unforgiveness. I am too busy loving them. If we are so busy loving, there's no room for criticism and unforgiveness and resentment and so forth. You can read through it. As I said, I have some out there. The point being that when you are filled with the Spirit, He will pressure, push, direct these kind of thoughts. To love one another, to forgive one another, to be gracious to one another, to let your heart be filled with positive. Philippians 4 talks about that. Think on these things. Think on these things. Being filled with the Spirit means that the Spirit of God is going to direct me. He is going to control my thoughts in the way that I am submitted to Him. Not in the sense of that He is... Not being a puppet, yes. Jesus said to His disciples in John chapter 15 that we should bear fruit. In fact, I think He said much fruit. Let me find it here. You and I, He expects you and I to bear fruit. He expects that. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and then you'll be my disciples. Then in verse 16 of the same chapter, He says, you should go and bear fruit that your fruit should remain. You should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. What's fruit's He talking about? What's He talking? What is the fruit of the Spirit? What is the fruit?
Yes.
What's the fruit of the Spirit? It's in Galatians 5:22. How do I know that? Because it says the fruit of the Spirit is. Pretty clear, right? So, what is the fruit? Love.
Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Kindness. Gentleness. Faithfulness. Self-control.
So, what is He saying to us? If you are filled with the Spirit, and to the degree that you are filled with the Spirit, You will exemplify this fruit. It will be coming out of you. If it's not coming out of you, you are not filled with the Spirit. You may be baptized in the Spirit, but you're not filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit means that I have so much of God in me, grace of God in me, that I am embracing the things that He wants me to because the Spirit is leading me. The Holy Spirit is leading me. He's leading me. And He is saying that He wants me to develop love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. How can I do that if I'm not submitted to God? See, that's when, you know, when God says, you will know them by their love one for another, He's not talking about the typical love that goes on. He's talking about this. He's talking about people who are filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And you can tell if someone is filled. Can you tell if someone is filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and so forth? Can you tell? Can you see if when they're not?
So you can move out of the Spirit. So let's just clarify. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's your initial infilling of the Spirit. And you may become many people do. Not everyone that's been baptized in the Holy Spirit genuinely spoke in tongues, just to know that. So it is not the only sign. Once you're filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit, from then on, you will experience, if you yield to the Holy Spirit, multiple fillings, so that you are yielded to and under the influence of the Holy Spirit regularly, correct?
Yep.
However, you can move out, we all know we've done it, not of the presence of the Spirit, but out of His influence. So when we're nasty, like, and I don't mean this, I don't mean this rudely, but there are some Christians who are tongue talkers who are mean as snakes. So it's just because you speak in tongues is not a guarantee that you're being continually filled, correct?
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how does faith work?
By love.
Faith works by love. See, if we will embrace the workings of the Holy Spirit, a byproduct of that will be our faith levels will increase. They'll increase. Because you become like the person you hang around. If you are hanging around the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, you're going to take on His characteristics. You're going to take them on. And He will speak to you. How do you know? Will He speak to you? What do you think? Think will He? No. Jesus said here, right here, very clearly, that He, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Okay, that's one of them. There's three references here where it talks about how the Holy Spirit will speak to you and tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. He'll talk to us.
Amen.
I've had the Holy Spirit say to me, that's wrong. Bad attitude. That's not a good thing to do. On occasion, I've had the Holy Spirit say, good job. Well done. But it's a choice. You see, it's a choice that we make because while we're living our lives, we're bombarded by things. We live in a hostile environment. And there are strategies against you. The enemy has strategies that are meant to bring you down. They are meant to destroy you. They are meant to rob your faith, or at least diminish it. That's why we need to maintain this infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need it. We need it. It's the only way that we can defeat the enemy. I can't defeat him with my flesh. I'm not smart enough to defeat him, and neither are you. We're not. We need God.
Another thing, it's really, if it's all right for me to say, is that people sometimes are afraid to be filled because they think God's going to make them do something weird. We've all seen some of the excesses and some of the things that were poured through the Holy Spirit that Jesus would not do. if I come under his, quote, influence or control, he's going to make me do something really weird. It's not true.
No.
God never makes anybody do anything, nor will he make you do anything as you're filled with the Spirit that you are not ready for. In other words, that you are not yielded and surrendered to. It won't happen. You don't have to ever fear that he will override your desire to make you do something you don't want to do. That's not how he operates.
Amen. And being filled with the Spirit here, what we're talking about, does not mean that those who are not filled in this manner don't have the Holy Spirit. They still have the Holy Spirit, because when you get born again, the Spirit of God comes and lives in your spirit. What I'm talking about here is saturation. Saturation. There's a difference between when I received the Holy Spirit and I was born again and I was baptized in the Spirit and being dominated, saturated, soaked by the Spirit of God to the point where he leads and controls my thoughts, my behaviors, my attitudes, my actions. That's God's desire, and the measuring stick, if you will, would be the fruit. What kind of fruit? What kind of fruit? What kind of fruit is in my life? What kind of fruit's in your life? Interesting, isn't it? Jesus said they're looking for it. They're looking for it. John chapter 15, verse 16, he says, I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now, it's interesting you put that in, that your fruit should remain, as opposed to just say, go and bear fruit. Maybe he knew something. You know? Maybe he knew something. There is a divine protection in being filled with the Spirit. There's a divine protection. Because if you are filled with the love of God, just filled, the love of God, the joy and the peace and so forth, then the things, the cares of this world, the things that rob our lives, won't impact. They won't get through. They won't get through. Because our connection to God insulates us. And it's not from every bad thing that comes along. I don't mean that. But it insulates us from, if I don't get exactly what I want, then I'm not going to disintegrate. Because my joy doesn't come from the thing. It comes from my relationship with God. And it takes time to develop that. The fruit is something that is developed over time. And it takes a continuous connection to God. And there's degrees of being filled. See, that's the thing, is there's degrees. Not everybody's going to be Smith Wigglesworth.
Amen.
But we're still commanded to be filled with the Spirit. We're still commanded to let the Holy Spirit work in us. And to be led. You know, what does the Bible say? That the sons of God are led? Doesn't that say it? Romans 8, somewhere on there. Anybody know that verse? The one about being the sons of God being led by God. I'm sure there's a... Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. Because it's to be led by the Holy Spirit. So if I've been really clear about that, and I am not saying, please do not leave here thinking I said, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you don't have any God in you. That's not what I said. When we get born again, we get the Holy Spirit, we are baptized, the Holy Spirit comes on even more. There is a difference between that and being filled. Being filled means I'm soaked in God. I got so much of God in me that if you squeeze, that's what's going to come out. Not bitterness, anger, resentment, and revenge, but God. God. Amen? A good thing to do. A good thing. This comes, I'm just going to bring the table here. This comes from being in the presence of the Lord. You know that things aren't so bad when you're soaked in God. Disasters don't seem so difficult. And when you're faced with something overwhelming, and you know God, really know Him, you're filled with God and you have embraced His life working in you, there's a confidence that comes to be able to deal with the crisis. A confidence so that you know. Right off the beginning, right from the get-go, you know that God is going to undertake for you. That's what He wants to do.
Yeah, one of the main fruits to, not listed as a fruit, but results of being filled with the Spirit, is very clear in the Bible, is wisdom. And in James it talks about how there's wisdom that comes from the devil, that's earthly and spiritual and wrong.